Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Welcome to the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. We are dialing in toward the end of the week. A reminder that we will have a Chalk Talk session tomorrow on Cover 2 and Cover 4. And some things put up today. There was an analytics study done looking at our Cody Sweck took a look at the best replacements for Sheldon Richardson, where that production could come from. Keep an eye on that if you're a VIP member. We do have some exciting news coming about the OBR's transition to Twitch. We have some really fun stuff coming up on Twitch this year as a host for all of our video content. So if you have not created a Twitch, you should do that for this year if you're a person who enjoys any of the OBR's video content. So we do film rooms, podcasts, live Q&As, roundtables. We have so many more things planned, pregame, postgame stuff in there as well. And it's going to be awesome. You should check it out. We will have a Twitch for you guys to follow. Being posted on Twitter in the next few days, just kind of planting the seeds to create a Twitch account. If you haven't, if you have Twitch questions, come to me. I'll answer them. If you don't know, Twitch is just a platform for live video. It is a place of gathering, a community-oriented site, and the OBR is going to try to get out in front of doing things on this site because I think it's great. It's great for video sharing. It's great for video games. So if you're into Madden or anything like that, we can have conversations during that. Ton of fun stuff. We'll dive into that more in the coming weeks heading toward training camp when we officially start switching stuff over. So yeah, if you have not created a Twitch, please do so. We're pumped about that. We're going to bring in John Colosimo. I try to talk to John once a week. Sometimes life gets busy. He's got a couple little ones. I have one who I think is worth two. So he's tough. I try to bring John on. We're going to chat today. We found a window of conversation where our wives aren't going to kill us. John, how are you?
I'm good, Jake. Yeah, definitely found that window. Sometimes that window is pretty short. I know you can feel that.
It's so short, man. It is short. I'm in that window right now. So I want to talk to you. First, I'm going to open the floor to you. You can get any kind of like Baker Mayfield stuff off your chest if you want to right now, because there's a lot of dumb takes being thrown out there. And I like smart guys like you to have a platform. I know you've got your own pod. You guys do great work on Nothing But the Dogs, but I want to get for listeners of this podcast, just call it out, man. Get it off your chest.
All right. I will say that, you know, there's a lot of polarization when it comes to Baker Mayfield, but there's a ton of reasons to think that he's going to have a better year this year. Not just because we had significant injuries in Teller and OBJ and Nick Chubb. Not just because they added a couple of nice pieces they can do some nice things with Schwartz, and not even just because Baker Mayfield's in his second year of a system for the first time in his career. You know, I just think that, you know, if you look at his season, you include every game. And I like PFF when it comes to quarterback. I know you do too, Jake. And he was top eight quarterback in, you know, PFF's rankings in offense, in passing grade. And that's with a pretty darn rough start to the season. And, you know, I just think that sometimes people get stuck in like really weird spots. Like, and I don't like the way that they try and defend him. Like, you know, Orlovsky, I know he's trying to do some good things, but like pointing out that, you know, statistics and comparing it to Dan Marino in a different era under completely different circumstances isn't really helpful, I don't think. And then some people just point to really weird stuff like QB wins or, you know, touchdowns and yards specifically. So I you look at that stuff and, you know, you look at him understanding what he's doing and how he's attacking these offenses, and there's room to grow in completion percentage. You know, there's room to grow in, you know, being able to throw the deep ball that he wasn't able to throw basically the whole year. And like, there's like very reasonable, you know, steps and reasons to believe that Baker takes another step up and could get into that top five, top six zone. And it's just not crazy. You know, it's not overdoing it to say that. You're not asking for a ton, a couple of points here, a couple of points there. you know, cutting down on a couple of fumbles. You know, these little things, I think, can make really big differences. And, you know, I told you that I spent some time today charting all of the failed series of the Browns for the whole year. So not just any set of downs that failed, you know, ended a drive. And, you know, not surprisingly, it was stuff like turnovers, penalties, very little kind of just losing on downs. So, you know, it's those types of things. When you look at it all sitting there on a piece of paper, you can just see incremental things that they can do that's totally reasonable and expect, you know, bigger numbers. And there's just no reason to put a cap on what he can do as a player or compare him to a fully developed player like Kirk Cousins and say, that's your cap. So I just get a little bit annoyed. And, you know, it's the season for those types of things. So, you know, throwing out things and arguing about whether he's a top 12 or a top 5 guy or whatever. And it's all really silliness, but that's all we've got this time of year. So I get into little Twitter battles when I shouldn't and, you know, get annoyed when I shouldn't. But I mean, there it is. I just, you know, I think that it's very reasonable to expect a better season than he had last year. And if he does have a little bit better of a season, you're talking about a top 5, top 6 guy. You just are by the numbers. So, yeah.
Good. You gotta let it out sometimes. I'll say this. I think it's completely fair to have concerns about Baker. I'm trying to put this nicely. I think that there were even times the beginning of last year into late 2019 where I was like, man, this doesn't look good. And sure. What I think that we failed to talk about enough is it's people hold 2019 over his head and he played really badly. There's not a doubt, man. So it's like, okay, he plays a pretty good, really good rookie season. I'm stop calling it pretty good. It was a really good rookie season. Plays really well. And then 2019 happens. It's bad. 2020 happens and it's a better season. It's a really, by the end of the year, it's a pretty damn good season. So like, I think what people have in their mind is, hey, we don't think Baker's good, has a good rookie season. Shit, I still don't think he's good. Prove me wrong. 2020. They think he got the right coach. He's got all this talent around him. Has a bad year. I told you so. Has a pretty good year the next year. And it's like, well, I still think he's shitty. So, like, I think that as justifiable as it is to say he had this really bad year in 19, he's got some help now. I think people just can conveniently gloss over the change. I saw that today somebody tweeted, I actually just saw before we came on, that somebody had said he's one of three quarterbacks to endure three head coaching changes in his first three seasons. And the only one of those guys to have a winning record. That matters. Okay. It really matters.
Sure,
and
for sure.
And like, yeah, he had a bad season in 2019, but I think what annoys me most is people trying to define him. Like there's no room for growth. He's capped out. They should move on from him. I think those are the conversations like Mike Tannenbaum, who I didn't address publicly, but like, that's the stuff that annoys me is like, how do you know he doesn't have better production in his pocket? Like he's got the physical traits. So you're going to ignore the fact of what he had to deal with his rookie season coming into a franchise that hadn't had a winning season they won one game in 2 years. He comes in, he has to come off the bench because the coaching is so inept. He has to come off the bench to lead them to a win the first game. And I get that the talent got better, but the 2018 and 2019 offensive lines weren't that great. 2018 was okay toward the end. 2019 was pretty bad. They finally figured out the offensive line in 2020, and then he has some injuries at wide receiver. So I get there's a collection of talent around him, but it hasn't been some complete – you know, it hasn't been some completely perfect offensive structure around him before. We just saw him get a chance last year, and it's like, well, he was really bad to start the year. Well, okay, they also didn't get any preseason, and like that's a lot to come into your third system in 3 years. So I guess I missed the point of people, especially people who have been around football for a long time and understand how challenging it is to jump from offensive structure to offensive structure and just expect a quarterback who has the burden of a terrible franchise, the burden of we haven't had a winning season in a decade, you know, or at that point, no, 7-9 and 14. So it had been a long time since they'd even had a winning season. Mm. All of the pressure that's heaped on top of them, the way they blew the end of the Hugh Jackson era, the way they hired Freddie Kitchens, despite all of this information they should have known, then another coach has to be hired. It's just like, do you guys miss that? So it's like, I don't really even want to get into the debates with these idiots, especially like right. Bills fans have been brought into the fold today. Somehow Bills fans got touched on this. It's because these sites keep making these, if you could pay one quarterback from 2018, who would you pay? Well, we don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't, that's not a real thing. The Bills are making an individual choice. The Ravens are making an individual choice and the Browns. So stop igniting that dumb shit. We're only 3 years into these guys' career. I think everybody thinks Josh Allen is just going to keep getting better. Okay, still need him to keep getting better. We need to get further away from it. Everybody wants to define these quarterbacks in the first 5 years, and now we're trying to define them in the first 3 years, and it's like, it's just, it's head poundingly stupid.
One more thing before we pass on to this, just I think because you brought up something that triggered something for me, and that was I think one of the reasons I get annoyed isn't that Baker is unimpeachable or beyond criticism or anything, or even that I, you know, wholeheartedly think he's, you know, I don't even know if, you know, he'll be a first team all pro in his life. And I'm a, you know, I'm pretty high on him, you know, but is he going to get all pro? I'm not sure. But I think what annoys me is that nobody makes a cogent argument. That's like, I could probably make a better argument against Baker than anybody, you know, that you run across on Twitter. You know, that's why it's easy to kind of have a reasonable conversation with you, Jake, or, you know, some of the smart guys that we talk to on Twitter. But 99% of the time, they just make a god-awful argument as to why you should doubt Baker. And I think that's part of, like, why it's annoying, because I know I have things in my pocket that I don't really bring up just in general, that if I wanted to really criticize Baker, I could do a better job. they just do such a bad job at it. So
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's bad, and we shouldn't have to sit here and keep yelling about it, because people should be smart enough to do a little bit of research. And so often, if you get lost in the responses to these tweets from Pro Football Focus or the Checkdown or some of these other sites, I don't even know, like Gridiron, I can't think of the name of it, but they pose these questions just looking for people to yell in their replies for engagement. And God, it's a cesspool of idiocracy. It's so stupid. And this is the point where I always know, like, leading up to the draft, John, I get so mind-numbingly annoyed with draft discussion, because everybody wants to be right. And I told you so, and they're going to do this. And if you don't think they're going to do this, you're stupid. This is the second most annoying window of the season. You get nothing to talk about. It's like, you can kind of like get through the end of June talking about various things. But the first point in July, you're like, man, this sucks. We're talking about the same things over and over again. These places like Get Up and First Check and Breakfast Breakdown bullshit TV is like throwing all these dumb people on just to draw conversation or draw people calling them idiots or people saying, I told you so's. And it's a terrible time for football. It is morphed into this just terrible time for football discussion, because you just can't have smart discussions around this stuff. And even like, you get people that defend Baker. They even say some things where it's like, you're taking it too far, man. Like, you're taking it too far. Yep. And I like Dan Orlovsky at times, but it's like, Dan, you're doing this for like Browns fans. Just bring a normal, like, talk it out. You don't have to like, I'm doing this for Browns fans. No, we don't need you to stand up for Baker. I don't think that the idea should be Browns fans have to stand up for their quarterback. Like, it shouldn't be that way. It should be smart people see this. And they don't want to have those discussions. So I don't know. I keep saying we'll find a way to talk about this another 15 times before the regular season, but you know, so once you're a system quarterback, you're always a system quarterback. That's the thing. You get lumped into it and you can never really ever get out. So I always try to look at NFL news to see if there's anything worth talking about. I noticed Ryan Ramczyk from the Saints, who's a fantastic tackle, got a 5-year, $96 million extension. He's great. He's good. I saw that Pro Football Network or somebody like that, maybe that was USA Today Sports, their football section did a top 11 tackles in the league. And I just find it so strange that Jack Conklin gets left off that list so often. He was an all-pro for like the second straight year. So is it just like – I know offensive linemen get ignored in general, John, but he's so quiet that people forget about him? I just don't really understand it.
Yeah, I think it's – you know, part of it is he doesn't have like the highlight plays either. You know, nobody's putting up a, you know, GIF of him just ratcheting some defensive end into the ground. He's very rock steady when it comes to – not having penalties, when it comes to doing his job. I think that's part of it. What, you know, the way he goes about his business is a little more boring, whereas some guys will have those highlights and they'll have some whiffs too, but you just don't see them on film very much. So I think that's part of it.
I mean, I like Jack a lot. I just feel like he just does his job. He's a quiet guy in general. There was disconnect when he got the All-Pro award. Some people who study this stuff are a little offended by it, like Brandon Thorne. And I think he's really good. I'm not sure he's elite, but I think he's in the top 11 tackles in the league. You can't really get All-Pro twice without being at least a top 10 player. Not being like a guy who's in discussion as being the best at the position, but top 11. Like, I don't know. Kind of seems strange to me. I think even so, he's so often forgotten about. Like, I paid so much attention to Jedrick Wills that I didn't even study Jack sometimes, because he just does his job and he does it pretty well. So ultimate lunch pail type of player at the position where you don't really even hear him talk much. And, you know, Joe Thomas was very public, even it's obviously translated into a media career, but he just seems to be glossed over altogether, which is kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think you're right.
Yeah, like the contract is going to end up working out pretty well. I think that one is one we'll look back on quite fondly. So ESPN put the Browns as the third best roster heading into this year behind Tampa, which is justifiable. They brought everybody back from the Super Bowl. KC brought everybody back from their defense, essentially, except for they brought in Taco Charlton. And then offensively, they did a great job. I just talked with one of their media guys yesterday about the retool of the offensive line, and it's obviously pretty good. They got the Browns third ahead of Buffalo, ahead of Baltimore, ahead of Green Bay, the Rams, Cowboys are eighth. It feels, I don't know. I maybe I'm just nervous about injuries. I think they're pretty damn talented. Do I think they're the third best overall talent in the league? Maybe, I guess. I should probably start thinking that way, right? But I don't know. Maybe it's like my old Browns fandom that makes me so nervous. I don't know, man. What do you think? Is that right to you?
Well, I don't, you know, I think there's guys that you could argue for once you get into like that 3 to 5 range. And I think you're right to have some trepidation, because there's a huge amount of projection. And I mean that on the defensive side, from rookies to second year guys who didn't play last year to new members of the team and even Coach Woods, you know. So, you know, I think there's a certain, like, he got graded on Joe Woods in particular got graded on a curve last year, because we all knew what he was working with on the defensive side. And then there was injuries on top of that. You know, now there's not going to be those kind of excuses for him. And there's something, I think there's like a certain clarity that comes from being shorthanded on any task that you have, you know, because you don't have a bevy of choices. It's a little clearer to see, you know, what your best path is. Now he's got a lot of options. He's got a lot of options. He's got a lot of guys to teach. And there's no guarantee whatsoever that he's going to prove that he knows exactly how to use that. And certainly some of these rookies are not going to be as good as what we think, and second year players too. And And if you're expecting, in my mind, more from Clowney than he's been the last, you know, 3 years, like some kind of a, you know, a mashup of that, that I think you're a little, you know, outside the zone on that kind of thing. So, you know, I think that you'd absolutely be right to kind of question it. And I think that all really stems from the defensive side, where there's a ton of questions for me.
Ton of talent, but a ton of, I need to see it is the big thing, man. It's like, the X factor they list here is Baker and Odell. I continue to agree with that. If those two figure it out, it changes everything. If you have a Diggs, Josh Allen connection there, that just changes everything. The weakness they list is, it looks like linebacker remains the biggest weakness. I don't know if I totally agree that. I think their biggest question is how the defensive interior holds up, trying to find some people to anchor that position. They grade the offensive line as the biggest strength, which I agree. The offensive line was really good, and there's no reason to think it won't keep being good. We got a couple more years with this current group. We'll see what they do with Wyatt Teller, but yeah, on paper, I always say it, man. People on this pod know that I say you have to be really good on paper before you're ever really good in real life. So, you know, that part's important. They check the box there as being really good on paper. We'll see if it translates. It should be fun. It's the other question I had as we poke around and talk about minor NFL news is a thing that is Cincinnati more talented than we think they are? I think there's a lot of talent there, but it seems like Zach Taylor got the buzz that some NFL execs said he's not qualified to be a head coach. I've just never met a more forgettable head coach than Zach Taylor. I don't know. He was probably like the biggest beneficial drink from the McVay fountain person I've ever come across. So is that a fair assessment on your end? I mean, I don't know. What do you think of Zach Taylor? I think the Bengals have a good foundation, but I'm not sure he's the guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I forget his name. You know, the
dude, so forgettable. It's the Jack Conklin of head coaches.
Yeah, they. I don't know. Since he is so cheap, I can't see them paying for a coach that's not coaching for them. I think that alone like takes him off the hot seat a lot more than people want to stick him there. They got a lot of fun that they could have on offense. I think they're more talented on offense than the Steelers are. But defensively, I don't know what you're getting. I really don't. So
a ton of recognizable names, like a bunch of recognizable draft names, which just have not been good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're, you know, if, as long as Burrow stays healthy and recovers well from that injury, I think that Bengals fans are going to have an enjoyable season, maybe something along the lines of Baker's rookie year without the head coach firings and that kind of stuff.
The stuff that no one wants to talk about. I last thing I'll leave you with here, 10 most intriguing head coaching matchups of the year. Number 9 is Kevin Stefanski and Mike Zimmer. I don't think that there's probably ever – I can't say that. It feels like Minnesota still loves Stefanski. I have a bunch of people who follow me from Minnesota who were like, hey, man, we just want to keep up on Kevin and how he does. I think there was so much goodwill put that direction that it's just like I think that it'll be a really good reunion. Some people are like, can't wait to see him return. It's like, okay, I feel like they really wanted him to get that job. And there's just a ton of love there, a ton of connection between those two franchises. So I think it'll be a fun rematch, especially considering how well Zimmer knows Kubiak's system and all of that stuff. But I don't think some people have tried to build it as there's a little animosity there. I don't see that at all.
No, and I think you're right with regards to kind of the media and some of the fans. I mean, Arif is one of my favorite people on Twitter. Had him on a few times. He covers Minnesota, so he would say that same thing, and he's a little salty that Stefanski got away. For me, I got this one circled just because I would really love Baker to kind of blow the doors off Minnesota and just perform significantly better than Kirk Cousins. And I know they're not playing against each other. I get that, but I would enjoy that. So.
Yeah, man, me too. I would enjoy that too. Especially there's just a lot of crossover things with Minnesota. It's kind of strange. Yeah.
cross-pollination.
It is really. It was the same with, like, the Browns and the Bills had a lot of crossover there for a little while. It's not so much anymore, but it was just like, oh, that guy used to play for the Browns, or the Browns got a guy who played for the, it was just going back and forth for a while. So I don't know, man, that about wraps it up. Not much to talk about today, but did want to open the floor to you for Baker and chit chat on a couple other things. So I appreciate your time, John, as usual, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I always have a good time coming on here.
All right. Thanks to John. Thanks to you guys for listening. Pretty short little podcast today, but hey, that's all we're going to be able to do this time of year. Hope you're enjoying it. Again, I urge you, if you have something that I'm not thinking of for a content idea, hit me up and we'll try to do something on that. We're going to go tomorrow on a live draft with Brad Ward. We're drafting AFC players, AFC North. Four GMs get to draft an AFC North team. It's actually going to be kind of fun. So I'm going to see if we can get that cross-posted over to this podcast as well, so you can listen to it if you haven't already done so. I'll check with Brad. Should be fun. So anyway, thanks for joining us today. As usual, please, please spread the word on this podcast and subscribe, because then it automatically downloads for you and all that fun stuff. And leave us a review if you can as well. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your interest in this podcast. As usual, you know that. And go Browns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.